Well, glad to see it finally warmed up. Oh, it hasn't yet. We get 2 days, 3 days of real warm weather, and then Colorado sets in again, which is just a wonderful thing. So, Julie's high school graduation was on May 27th and at the Air Force Academy, and it snowed like crazy. So, don't put away your winter clothes and all that. I told Dennis and Judy Mariah about coming out. I says, you probably don't need your winter coats, but you definitely need some, you know, this is a coat, jacket, all of that for when they come out for the camp here in a couple of weeks. So we're going to Romans 10:17 because the title of this teaching is "It's All About the Christ," in all caps for the emphasis, because it really is. We were talking about that with somebody beforehand, and it really, our life should be centered all around the Christ, because he actually is the subject of the Word of God from Genesis 3:15 to Revelation 22:21. So Romans 10:17 says, so that the right way of believing comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Many of the Greek texts read, so that believing or faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word concerning Christ. And that's really the proper thing for us, is understanding the word concerning Christ. Right believing comes from hearing the word of God about the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the promised seed of the woman, the complete Savior, our substitute, who on behalf of all mankind shed his innocent blood to redeem the whole world. So it really is all about him. It really is. So with that, we go to Hebrews 1, and we'll start here. And it says in Hebrews 1:1, God spoke in various stages and in various ways to the fathers by the prophets in past times. God made his word known to people by the prophets. But then the next verse says, in past times, he has spoken to us, though, in the last of these days. How? By his Son. Through the accomplished work of his Son and what is recorded in the word and what is written, he speaks to us by his Son, whom God appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also prepared the ages. And that is key. He prepared the ages. The Greek word for world throughout this section here is aeon, which basically means ages. And we know we're in the fifth age, basically. The grace administration, the mystery administration, the Church of God administration. And that's this is the age that we are living in today. But he's prepared all the ages for the Christ. Like I said, Genesis 3:15 to Revelation 22:21, who's the subject of it? Who's the red thread? Christ. So God has prepared it, the ages, for the Christ. So let's read 1:2 and go right into 3 again. God, who spoke in various stages and in various ways to the fathers, first by the prophets in past times, has spoken to us in the last of these days by his Son, whom God appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also prepared the ages, his Son, who is the reflection of the glory and representation of his essence, and who upholds everything by the word of his power, having accomplished a cleansing from sins, sat down at the right side of the majesty on high. Kicked his feet up, lit up a cigar, got himself a little cognac, and hey, I'm done. Well, actually, he's very, very busy today. But he, the Son, is a representation of God's essence. He upholds everything by the word of his power. He's the reflection of the glory. So, it's all about the Son. Verse 4, he became so much better than the spirit messengers. Now, the reason it's translated that way is because it's more than just angels. There are different types of messengers. There's a messenger from Satan that was sent to buffet Paul. There's messages sent by humans. Before there was texting available, you have to send people with your message. And then there are spirit messengers that were sent by God for specific purposes, which is why it's translated this way. He became so much better than the angels. He became so much better than the spirit messengers. He became so much better than angels. Even as much as the name which he has inherited is much more distinguished than theirs.
What, Simon, you got? I'm an angel. Who are you? Son of God. Okay.
All right. Yes. Big difference. Okay. He inherited a name above all names. And as a matter of fact, did he, God, ever say to any of his spirit messengers, did he pull any of his angels aside and go, you know what? You really are my son. Today I have begotten you. No, he never did that. And also, from Samuel, I will be a father to him and he will be a son to me. No, these are servants. These are angels who, as we continue reading, the son is so much more than the angels. All needed. Verse 6 says, furthermore, at the time when he brought the firstborn into the world. Now, that speaks very loudly for those who think that Jesus Christ was there at the beginning and made the angels. Because that can't, this verse can't be accurate then. But if you know that he's the Son of God and had a beginning, furthermore, at the time when he brought the firstborn into the world, God brought the firstborn into the world, he said, let all the spirit messengers of God bow down to him. They understood their rank spiritually. Moreover, with reference to these spirit messengers, he said, from Psalm 104, he makes spirits his messengers and flaming fire his ministers. Dave will read Exodus 3:2 for us to help us understand a little bit about this flaming fire his ministers. He told his messengers, he makes those spirits messengers, and he makes them flaming fire his ministers. Dave, what is Exodus 3:2?
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed.
Right. So he made his angels like their natural gas. They just kind of flare up and everything, you know. And then the gas, as long as there's plenty of gas, it just keeps going. And nothing gets destroyed. So, actually, in that part of the country, there is a lot of natural gas, and that's probably what that really was. Well, look, this bush isn't being destroyed. How come? Well, because all the gas keeps burning around it. Part of the science behind it. But anyway, let's keep reading. We're understanding them that angels are not to be worshipped. Angels are not more important than God. So if you, you know, go to St. Michael's or St. Gabriel's or St. Rabboni's or who somebody else is that are out there, it's Raphael. Basically, there's two angels that are actually, their names are given in the word. Lucifer's not really a name, it's a title. It means light bearer or light giver. Many times, God doesn't give certain specific names of people who, for whatever reason, he has, like Mrs. Noah. We don't know who Mrs. Noah is. Right? Okay. There's reasons why he gives names and reasons why he doesn't. So, but Michael and Gabriel are two of the head angels, archangels, and basically, angels are underneath their command. But to all of them, they're messengers. They have a purpose. They're flaming fire, his ministers. However, with reference to the Son, from Psalm 45, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Now, if you read Psalm 45, this part of it is dealing with your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And Dave is going to read for us Psalm 45, verse 1.
My heart is in...
Psalm 45, 1.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I just started reading. My heart is indicting a good matter. I speak the things which I have made touching the king.
Stop. What verse are you reading? What book are you reading from? Is that King James?
King James.
Okay. So that, read that part again about the king. We'll just read the whole verse.
Oh. My heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king.
Touching the king. Psalm 41, 45 is addressed to the king. So the first part of it, of this verse, separates out dealing about God, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And since he's addressing the king from the context, the scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You, the king, loved justice and you hated lawlessness. And because of this, God, even your God, anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. And you, Lord, at the beginning, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. But guess what? They're going to perish. And all those collectibles you have, they will perish. But guess what? You remain. They will all become old like a piece of clothing. You're going to roll them up as if they were a mantle or a piece of clothing, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. Talking about the true God. Did he ever say to any of the spirit messengers what he says in Psalm 110? Sit on my right side until I make your enemies the footstool of your feet. And that opens in the Hebrew as a question that doesn't, the answer is going to be yes. You have that in different, you know, we're talking about things like that, right? Okay, so there's the thing. We throw that in to expect an affirmative answer. That's what this is written in the Hebrew. Did he tell any of his spirit messengers to sit on his right hand until I make your enemies the footstool of your feet? No. Are they, the spirit messengers, not all attending spirits? And what is their purpose today? They're sent out to minister for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation. Well, who's going to inherit salvation? The saints, us. The angels are around, the spirit messengers are around to help what needs to be done in our day and time and hour. Now, so some people still want to worship angels. So we'll go to Colossians and see what this has to say. Because we're seeing that Christ is way up, and then there's the angels. They're the work crew. Colossians 2:4. I say this so that no one may deceive you. I like reading that. I'm saying this so you don't get deceived with persuasive arguments. You ever talk the word to somebody and then somebody persuades them against the word? Yeah, that happens periodically. Well, here you go. I'm telling you this, you don't get deceived with persuasive arguments. In fact, even though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing in seeing your orderliness and the steadfastness of your believing in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Verse 7, as those who have a root and are built up in him and established in the right way of believing, even as you were taught, abounding with thanksgiving in it, watch. Stay sober. Watch. Mr. Rezovic, you know how to watch, because in your military, if you fall asleep on the watch, things don't watch very good for you after that, do they? No. Watch. So that no one leads you away as a captive through, what are they going to use? Guns and ammunition and swords? No. Through philosophy and vain deception. That's why you don't send your kids to college. I'm sorry. They just get philosophy and vain deception up there. According to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So how should we teach? We teach Christ. We teach Christ. We watch with Christ. And we introduce and continue to keep Christ there so that they're not led away by the things of the world. So let's read 8 through 10 straight through again. Watch so that no one leads you away as a captive through philosophy and vain deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the divine nature bodily, and you are completely filled in him who is the head over every ruler and authority. So you don't need to spend all your time in politics. Talk about the head who's above all of it, Christ. We move on to chapter 2, verse 18. Let no one rob you of your prize. You know, you like to get paid for your work. You really don't want to, you know, have somebody rob you of your commission. Let no one rob you of your prize, of your eternal reward. And how would they do that? By self-prescribed humility and religion of spirit messengers or worship of angels. There are people who worship angels. In fact, if you're in Albuquerque, they got an angel shop there where you can go buy all kinds of little angels and worship, have them around to worship them. So, don't let yourself get robbed of any eternal reward, of any prize, because of worshiping of spirit messengers, of angels, stepping into things that he has not seen, seen or not seen, puffed up for no reason by the mind of the flesh, because of the old man nature, but not adhering to the head. Keeping Christ as the head, from whom the whole body, which is supplied and united through the joints and ligaments, grows with the growth of God. Since you died with Christ from the elementary principles of the world, then why, like one who lives in the world, do you subject yourself to decrees? Right? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, and go on and on and on. the use of which all leads to corruption, which are according to the commandments and teachings, or what people have been learned because of what men have been teaching them. Those things have an appearance of wisdom in a self-prescribed religion and humility, even to the extent of severe treatment of the body, without any esteem for the gratification of the needs of the flesh. We still have people who beat themselves and crucify themselves rather than just allowing Christ to have already done it all for us and just enjoy it. So, but they appear to have great wisdom and self-prescribed religion. That's a great way of looking at what you have out in the world. This is my religion. I've made it up. And I have my own rules. Don't touch that. Don't taste that. Don't. Then we continue in 3:1. So then, since you were raised together with Christ, here's something we can do. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right side of God. Think the things that are above, not the things that are upon the earth. In fact, you died and your life has been hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, your life, will be manifested, then you also will be manifested with him in glory. When Christ, who is your life,
talking with a couple of you guys, you know, Matt and Tom, really, it's the whole thing. Christ is our life. If Christ is our life, everything fits around our life and our lifestyle in Christ. Everything will fall in place that way if we keep Christ there. That's what this is telling us. When Christ, who is our life, will be manifested, then you will also be manifested with him in glory. So above all these things, clothe yourself with love, which is the uniting bond of maturity. You don't need do this or don't do that anymore. You walk in love. And if you walk in love, you have some maturity about you. And then you can let the peace of Christ just preside in your hearts, unto which you were also called in one body. And oh, by the way, it helps being thankful. Let the word concerning Christ. You got the peace of Christ within you. So now let this word concerning Christ dwell in you richly. So you'll be walking in love, and you'll be teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, singing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with the bongos, with grace in your hearts to God. Moreover, whatever you do in word or work, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And again, that thankfulness allows you to be peaceful. Well, the world's going to hell, but I can be peaceful. I can be thankful. I know what's going to happen. Christ is coming back. I get a new spiritual body. It's great. So I can have a nice day. And I can have a nice week. And I can have a nice life. That's what's available. So with that, we go back to Hebrews 10, 32, because this was addressed in manifestations earlier. Remember the former days when you were enlightened? Yeah, I do. I remember what it was like before I took a class in the Bible, when I was not enlightened. And I remember getting enlightened, and boy, did that change things around. Changing the entire scope and focus of life, being enlightened. You know? Remember, though, before you were enlightened, you know, sometimes you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Sometimes, you know, you were made a spectacle, both by insults and afflictions, and sometimes you became companions of those who were treated in this manner. Moreover, you showed sympathy to the prisoners, and accepted with joy the seizure of your possessions, knowing that you yourselves were to have a better and abiding possession. And this is talking to those once they got enlightened, the things that happened. Sometimes you just accept with joy the craziness of the world, because you can't take it with you. Somebody thinks they got to have it more than you. Yeah, God bless you. So, I got a better and I got an abiding possession. I got eternal life that can't take the spirit out of me. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Boy, don't get talked out of it. Don't cast away your confidence. Stay rooted and grounded in the word of what you've been given, and you can face everything in life. Well, in fact, in verse 36, you have need of patience. Should I read that again, or do it kind of, you know? We have need of patience. Hate that, but it's so true. We have need of patience, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive in return the promise, or what was promised. You have need of patience, because once you do the will of God, you're going to get rewarded for it, and the greatest reward will be when Christ comes back. Besides, in a very little while, he who is coming will arrive, and he won't be late.
Isn't that reassuring? He won't be late. Trumpet. Okay, what's next? He's drinking a cup of coffee. No, he won't be late. The just will live by believing. And if anyone withdraws, my soul will not be pleased with him. And this is similar to what's listed in Habakkuk. We are not of those who withdraw unto destruction, but of those who believe unto the acquisition of our soul. So, believing is the foundation of matters hoped for, the proof of things not seen. We'll get into this in a moment. But he's not going to be late. The just. We have the justness and the righteousness and the completeness of God. So we should live by faith, by believing, by expecting what's in here to come to pass. Now, this believing, this faith, it's the foundation or the substance. We'll look at each one of these so then we can put the whole verse together. Faith is the word translated believing here. It's Greek word pistis. It means believing or faith. The Greek word pistis occurs 27 times from Hebrews 10:38 to 12:2. Of course, this is all Hebrews 11's in the middle of that. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Noah. By faith, Sarah. By faith, everybody else. And, you know, by them believing what God had told them, or by specifically what the word has promised, they, as the just then, can live by believing. It's all listed in there 27 times. And then in Hebrews 10:38, which we just read, said the just are going to live by believing. Hebrews 4:2 spoke of those who heard but did not believe the gospel. Which particular gospel? The gospel of God that pertains to Jesus Christ. Those who believed the promises of God in previous times, they look forward to Christ's first coming. And many of those believers are referred to in Hebrews 11. The repetition of the Greek word pistis throughout this passage emphasizes the truth stated in Hebrews 10:38 that the just will live by believing. The just will live by believing. Oh, here's some examples. Abraham, Moses, right down the line. All right. The just are those who live by believing the promises of God, which are recorded in God's word, the scriptures. They also live by believing what God told them in certain situations, which was the manifestation of believing. A manifestation of the Spirit. A big part of their believing pertained to believing the promises of God regarding the coming Christ, whose coming they look forward to, as brought out in this passage from Hebrews 10:38 to 12:2. The promises of God regarding the Christ. That's still very true today, except it's the second coming of Christ. Now, the word substance, believing is the substance or the foundation, it's hypostasis, which means really it's real being, nature, substance, essence, ground, foundation, as opposed to just appearance. The word was also used of the title deed of things purchased. It occurs in these other places. Believing is the foundation, it's the ground, or the title deed of matters not yet seen, but hoped for, when it is based on the correct and accurate information that has come from God. And there's the key. It's got to come from God. It's got to be correct. It's got to be accurate information that comes from God. Not what you think, what you want, or what it should say, because you expect it to be that way. Believing is the foundation, the ground, or the title deed of matters that you haven't come to pass yet, but hope for, but as long as they're hoped for properly, based upon the correct and accurate information that comes from God. Now, a translation of the Aramaic Peshitta text reads, "Now believing is the assurance concerning those things that are in hope, as if they had in fact happened, and the evidence of those things that are not seen." If God says it's going to come to pass, it's going to come to pass. Is Christ coming back? How do you know? Well, we don't know, except we accept this, and we're going to get into that as we continue on. We accept what God says in His Word. We believe it will come to pass that way. Our proof is that we speak in tongues, which tells us that God's word is real. So, the next thing that will happen that we know for sure is going to happen, not necessarily the next thing, but God will tell us specific things, is that Christ is coming back. So, we have banked our entire life on it. Haven't we? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We live expecting Christ to come back. We make our life and our decisions as if Christ is coming back today or tomorrow or when that, soon. He's not going to be late, though. All right. Now, verse 1, now believing is the foundation of matters hoped for, the proof of things not seen. In fact, by believing, the elders received witness or a good report from God. Now, the explanation for that, a good report from God, is the Greek word martyrio, which is to be a witness or to bear witness or to witness or to hear testimony. That word occurs 5 times in this chapter of those who were born witness to or given a good report by God. So God saw their witness. God gave them a stamp of approval. Good. And then verse 3 is really key. By believing, we understand that the ages, again, it's translated as world in King James, but it's aeon, it's the word for ages. By believing, we understand that the ages have been fully prepared by the word of God, for that which is seen has not come into existence from things that are visible. Now, let's explain that. Worlds, it's aeon, age, and it's referring to a period of time. According to Hebrews 1:2, which we read earlier, God prepared the ages by his Son. Here he speaks of the ages have been fully prepared by the word of God. And it's also the present age, which we live in, is called an evil age in Galatians. The evil in the ages from the fall of man in Genesis 3 to the present age was not the result of God's intentions, but God planned. God didn't go, yeah, I think I just muddle everything up. No. God planned for a Redeemer to restore the conditions on earth to the way in which he had originally designed it. And we know from Genesis 1:1, everything was originally designed perfect. And then angels, spirit beings got in the way. As a result of Jesus Christ's accomplishments, God has fully prepared the ages to come by his word. People in the past could look forward to the Christ, and people today may enjoy the results of his work and look forward to the ages to come according to God's design and preparation. Now, we don't have enough time to read all of Hebrews 11, all of that, which many of you are very familiar with, so we skip to an overview from Hebrews 10:32 to 12:3, which includes Hebrews 11. So here's the recap of what we just read or didn't read or we're going to read or you can read. Okay. Throughout this epistle, the people of Israel were encouraged to believe God regarding his Son, Jesus Christ. And we're still encouraging people to believe God about his Son, Jesus Christ, because he's all that matters. And everything's built around him. They were told about the great salvation, and they were also encouraged to believe the gospel regarding the Christ, and thereby enter into God's rest. The new and better covenant was made by God with the people of Israel and ratified by Jesus Christ. On behalf of all of mankind, Jesus Christ ratified the covenant. And we said, good. Boy, do we have somebody good to take care of it for us. To ratify this. They needed to believe God regarding what he had done in that covenant. In Hebrews 11, they were emphatically encouraged to believe God. Jesus Christ declared, according to John 20:29, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. The great cloud of witnesses spoken of in chapter 11 looked forward to the Christ and what he was to accomplish. They believed God with regard to the things that they had not yet seen, and they were convinced of their hope because it rested on correct and accurate information from God. The people to whom this epistle was addressed needed to look with undivided attention to Jesus, who is the leader down the path and perfecter of the right way of believing. So basically, a whole lot of people did a whole lot of great things for God because they expected something they hadn't seen yet, the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Christ, and they still lived for him. We at least have the proof of speaking in tongues, and we have the assurance of God's word of what we can do because we expect him to come back. But in the meantime, he's accomplished great things that we claim and live by. So, 1 Peter 1, Peter, he is an apostle of Jesus Christ to the sojourners of the diaspora in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, San Diego, and Bithynia, who are all chosen. And they're chosen according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, by sanctification of the Spirit, because of the obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy caused us, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to be born again with a view to a living hope. We have been born again, born from above, and we have a view of a living hope. That is, with a view to an incorruptible, an undefiled, an unfading inheritance reserved in heaven for you. You got a locker up in heaven. It's got your name on it.
Oh, love that.
It's right there. It's all yours. Can't get it until Christ comes back. That's the living hope. Verse 5, through believing, I love this, through believing you are protected by the power of God unto a salvation or unto a deliverance ready to be revealed when Christ comes back. You're protected by the power of God. So in this, you can be very glad. Are you very glad?
Yes.
You can be very glad. That's almost an understatement after looking at all of this. You can be very glad, even though it may be necessary for a short time at present to be grieved by many kinds of temptations. So yeah, sometimes we're grieved, but we can be very glad. So that the proof, the genuineness of your believing, which is of much more value than gold, which perishes and which is poured by fire, may be found unto the praise and glory and honor when at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Right. So you can be very glad, even though, you know, for a short time, we're grieved because of all the temptations, all the insanity of the world. But we've got the proof, the genuineness of the fact that we're believing God better than anything can be found in us. And we know for sure when the appearing of Jesus Christ happens. Although you have not seen him, you love him. Isn't that a great, simple thing? Although you have not seen Jesus Christ, you love him. Believing on him, whom you do not currently see, you are, again, very glad, with inexpressible and glorious joy. I can't express to you how much joy I have because of what Christ has done for us. We have inexpressible and glorious joy, and we're very glad. Because receiving in return the end, receiving in return the outcome of your believing, that is the deliverance of your ass. I mean, of your soul. That's really what it comes down to. We've been delivered. We have
I just said that last night.
We have the last laugh, and we can be very glad we're inexpressible. Absolutely. Because of the Christ, who have we not seen? And I'm so thankful that we got the proof of speaking in tongues. We know. As long as you can speak in tongues, you know Christ didn't come back. So, in conclusion, Acts 4:18. So, when they called them back, they charged them neither to speak nor to teach at all in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John answering said to them, if it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God you judge, we, moreover, cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. And that's where we're at today. So we're really very glad.